Hello, I'm Natasha and I'm an addict. Hi, everyone. Oh my God, it's a big meeting, isn't it? It's lovely to be here. I feel very honored to have been asked to be of service at this convention. I love a convention. I love an NA convention. NA conventions in London allowed me to stay clean in my early recovery. I put myself forward to do service at the London Convention when I was 5 months clean. And probably I shouldn't have been allowed to do that. but I was allowed, and it really, really helped me. So I want to thank the committee, the convention committee, the Finnish Fellowship, everyone who's here. It's absolutely stunning what we do here. It's absolutely, it's a miracle. It's brilliant. And so, yeah, I'm going to share a little bit about my life, where I come from, how my using was a little bit, and then how NA has given me a new way to live, which is the theme of this convention. And NA has given me many new ways to live, actually, because throughout my recovery, I've been changing. And what recovery has given me was the ability to adapt to this change, to these changes. Recovery gives me the tools to just make sure that I don't pick up a drug and that I change with resistance, but also gratefully. And it does happen. It does happen. So I'm really, really, really grateful to all of you. I know some of you very well in here, but most of you I don't know. But I feel kinship. I feel so close to all of you here because we're the same. We're all addicts just trying to get another day clean. And that's it. That's the point of NA. That's the point of what we do. I love this about us. I love this about NA. So I'm Greek, if you didn't guess from my weird accent. I'm Greek. I grew up in Greece. Both my parents are Greek. And from a young age, I knew that there was something different about me. So it had to do with gender. I'm trans. I'm a trans woman. While I was growing up, I was, from a very early age, I understood that it was not okay to explore and experiment with gender. It was made explicitly and implicitly clear to me that I was not, it was not okay to be me. It was absolutely, I was wrong. When someone internalizes this message, and I'm just going to speak about me, when I internalized that message, it created a lot of shame, a lot of toxic shame in me about who I was, about my dreams, my aspirations of who I wanted to be, how I saw myself as. And that didn't match the programming that I was receiving from society. And I'm not going to blame Greece. Thank you, my lovely. That was quick. That was very good. Thank you. So I was talking about Greece. I don't want to blame anything in particular for my addiction. And I, obviously, Greece is a beautiful country. You can go there for holidays, you know, but it's also very conservative. But that's not the problem. The problem is that I had a response to that programming that I received that made me want to obliterate myself, made me want to escape those difficult feelings the best way that I could. And drugs did that for me. Drugs actually helped me in a big way. When I was younger, I used fantasy, books, video games quite a lot. And that was my first kind of obsession. I played video games, so many video games. I have been to Helsinki when I was 14 and 15 at LAN parties. I was committed to video games, you know. It was absolutely, it was my life. And then, at age 16, I started drinking and using drugs. And that was it. For me, I absolutely loved it. For years, it helped me. It probably saved my life, to be honest with you. I had a lot of fun with drugs as well, and that's my reality. The problem with drugs is that they're not sustainable. They're not a sustainable solution. They stop working after a while, and I needed to use more and more to achieve the same effect. So that had an impact on my body and my mental health. As, of course, that's to be expected. And I knew that I was doing that to myself, but I couldn't obviously change that. I didn't have the words for addiction, recovery, anything like that back in the day. But all I knew was that I needed to keep going. I needed to keep using. And I did use. I did use a lot of drugs. I moved to London when I was 18, and I discovered the beautiful world of powders and substances and pills and tablets. And it was fun for a minute. I need to be honest. It was fun, you know. I managed to connect, in a way, with myself. I managed to reduce that toxic shame that was really holding me back. I managed to go out and party, connect with people, not feel weird, feel like part of. So I think I was looking for connection in drugs for a long time. And drugs did give me that for maybe 2 or 3 years. I used for 18 years, but they only worked at the beginning, and then the consequences started happening. The consequences I experienced at the beginning was very bad mental health. My mental health started suffering, started deteriorating. I was hospitalized. I had a mental health breakdown at age 21. My dad came to pick me up from London. I was running naked in the streets of Northwest London. My friends, yeah, would have been fun otherwise, but yeah, it wasn't much fun. I was completely out of it. I thought I was Jesus Christ, of course, as you do. It was really unmanageable, obviously. Like, it was crazy, literally crazy. And my dad came and picked me up from Greece and took me to a psychiatric ward back in Greece. And I didn't know what had just happened. Honestly, for 20 days I was in psychosis, deep psychosis. They said it was drugs-induced psychosis, and you know, that was the verdict. So drugs did that to me. You know, the thing that I used to have fun, to connect, to party, to have sex, to enjoy my life, suddenly turned against me. Not suddenly, actually. It took a minute, but you know, yeah. I need to be clear. But it actually wasn't working anymore. My mental health was suffering so much. And I was at a loss. I was lost. I felt very, very lost at that point, 1999. 6 months after coming out of the psychiatric unit, I started using drugs again. Because no amount of fear can stop me from using. I cannot scare myself out of my addiction. That doesn't work. It's good to have some healthy amount of fear about using. I think that's healthy for me. But fear itself will not stop me. I will go against my own brain. I'm hardwired to use, I think. It's very interesting. So 6 months later, I started using again, and I changed my drugs around. I started using more downers rather than uppers. I thought that was the problem. I thought I needed to get into work more, so I became workaholic. Then I had the relationships that were unmanageable, and this codependency was giving me a buzz. So it all kind of shifted from one to the other, and I replaced one for the other, as they say in our literature. That took me to the age of 29, at which point I decided to look at my gender issues, and thank God I did that. I went to my therapist at the time and I said, we need to look at gender, because I know I'm gonna die a very miserable life if I don't, like, I owe it to myself. And what he said to me was, sure, we can look at that, but you have to stop using drugs. And all I heard was I needed to use more. Honestly. That was my solution at the time. I didn't know any better. And I have empathy for that person today, of course. So I started using more and more and more. My transition, my gender transition was progressing, but I was a mess. I really was a mess. I mean, I have some pictures from back in the day. I'm ashamed of the pictures. I looked terrible and I felt terrible. You know, it was so difficult. It was a really difficult period for me, these 4 or 5 years, between 29 to 34. And towards the end of it, my addiction had just escalated. I just could not stop using. I was killing myself really, really quickly at that point. My very good friend Stuart, who I was very good friends with, and we worked together. He was one of the first people to know that I was trans, died of an overdose. And we were using together, we were partying together. Yeah, that was absolutely terrible. And Stuart was the first person that told me about NA. I had never heard about NA before. Stuart, my friend, told me about NA, and he said, there's a group of people, you know, lovely people, there's gay, trans people, everyone is in there, that try to stay clean, and they manage to stay clean, you know. And I was like, okay, I wasn't ready to hear it at first. But then in January 2012, I went to my very first NA meeting. It was in East London, and I will never forget it. It was snowing outside, and it was a very cold night of January. And I was desperate. And I went to this meeting, and my mind was blown. It was full of people, like, I see here, you know, like, their faces were lit, you know. They were actually enjoying existence, you know, which is, at the time, that was a, you know. And what I got from that point on was hope. You know, I got hope that there was another way, actually. And I really trusted you all in that meeting. And I say you all because we're all the same, in my view. I trusted you that you were actually the same as me, that I was between friends that would not judge me for everything that I had done. And I had done a lot of things, shameful things, you know. The guilt and shame of being trans was one thing, but then in my addiction, I did things that I absolutely regretted later. I manipulate people, I lied, I tried to control everyone and everything around me. It was not pretty, I tell you that. And I saw a room full of people that were not like, nothing like that, that they were actually happy to be clean, and that to me was mind-blowing. So I got hope from that very first meeting. I didn't stay clean straight away. It took me a minute to digest everything, and it was a lot to digest. So if you're new, just give it a second, like, wait for it. It does work, it does happen once you come back and keep coming back. And I didn't come back. I came maybe to 3 or 4 meetings back in January 2012. And I thought I was going to stay clean, but I didn't. I used again. And I nearly died. That those 4 or 5 months before I came back to meetings were absolutely a terror. They were absolutely horrible. Okay, enough with the war stories. it was hard, as most of you here, or all of you know, using against my will is absolutely soul-crunching. And I did that for a while, actually. I was using against my best wishes. I didn't want to keep doing that, but I had to because I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. So when my friend Stuart died on the 4th of July of 2012, 4 days later, I came back to the rooms. And that time, I was ready. I was ready to listen. I was ready to surrender. I heard about surrender earlier. That was amazing. I was ready to try something different this time. And all I had to do really was to stay in that room, obviously to leave the room when the meeting was over, but to keep coming, you know? And that was what made me stick, essentially, to NA. The fact that I kept coming back. And I kept coming back because I was desperate. I didn't know any other way. And every time I went to a meeting, I felt a little better. That's the truth of it. I know now I'm a little nervous sharing in front of so many people, but I know that after this share, I will feel a little better, you know? And that is it. This is a meeting. This is just another meeting. It doesn't matter how many we are. We're here to support each other. And something that I will hear from someone else, and already I've heard a lot in this convention, is helping me to stay clean just for today, to go to bed tonight clean. That is the magic. So cutting a long story short, how did I do it? I'm a practical person, so this is how I did it. I did many meetings, like I said. I did maybe 75 in the first 90 days. I was working as well. Then I did more meetings because meetings really do work. It's really amazing how meetings help to ground me and center me and make me feel grateful to be clean, to be alive today, you know. It reminds me that I have this disease that I have the utmost respect for. I respect my disease today. That's why I try not to feed it, and I try to do the opposite of feeding it, which is coming here. When I come here, my disease suffers. My disease is powerful. You know, it wants me dead. There's someone inside of me that wants me dead, wants me to keep using, to dissociate, disassociate, however you want to call it, disconnect from this world and just die, you know, in a room with a lot of drugs next to me, just sad and miserable. That is what my disease wants for me. And I'm not entertaining that today. By being here, by coming to be of service here, you know, there was no way I wasn't going to come to be of service here because this is my life. It has to come first. Everything else has to follow what I do here. Right. So meetings, back to meetings. Very amazing. Do meetings. I did many meetings, and I'm still doing meetings. And this is a meeting, so we're in a good space. Service, I would say service is really quite important. Being of service, being in the middle of the bed or the middle of the boat, however you want to call it. Service does that for me. It allows me to be seen by other addicts, to connect to the fellowship, to connect to other committee members, whatever the committee might be. And it helps me to turn up. It makes me want to turn up service. Like when I don't want to turn up and I have a commitment, the chances are that I will turn up and I will connect even if I don't want to. And I learned that in service. That is what service does for me, you know. It makes me consistent and disciplined. And one of the spiritual principles is discipline, you know, and I have to be disciplined with that. I'm not disciplined with other things, but I try to be disciplined with, you know, service and the fellowship. Sponsor, amazing. If you if you know obviously what sponsorship means, you know what it means. If you don't, then try and find someone to guide you through the steps, to guide you through recovery, to give you some indicators on how to do this. Sponsorship is absolutely stunning. And working the steps, obviously, that's what sponsorship does as well. It guided me to work the steps. After finishing step 4 and 5, actually, I managed to transition my gender socially and went to work for the first time as a woman. That was an absolute direct result of working the steps, a transformative result of step work. Yeah, I can't recommend step work more. Like I said, I did many people great harm, and I harmed myself as well, but I needed to make amends. I needed to look at my resentments. I needed to look at, you know, the wreckage of the past, as we call it, and step work does all of that for me, did all of that for me. Therapy too, but in a different way. Step work, sponsor, service, meetings, higher power. I want to talk a little bit about the higher power because this is a contentious subject for many. I know that the word God might sound difficult for some of us. For me, it doesn't matter the word that I use to describe a higher power of my own understanding. It's my understanding, it's my own understanding, so I can call it anything. I call her goddess, I call her universe, I call her the meetings. You know, for me, being here today, that's my higher power. That's where my higher power wants me. That's where, you know, that's where I need to be. And you're helping me to stay clean. So this to me is a power part of higher power. That I'm staying clean. That's a power beyond me, more than outside of me. You know, I can't do it alone, unfortunately. I wish I could, but I can't. I need to connect with you all. I need to come and share what's going on for me, and that helps me, sharing at meetings. Having a strong fellowship around me, that was very helpful, to have friends, to become friends with people, you know, to connect in a way that felt sustainable this time. Because like I said before, I was looking for connection in drugs. Thank you, my lovely. I was looking for connection in drugs, and that connection I got in NA. For me, this is the after party. I'm gonna use the last 5 minutes to talk about the new ways of life that NA has given me. First of all, the main thing is I don't have to wake up and look for drugs, manipulate people, lie to people, you know, use my defects to manage something that, you know, to get the drugs. I don't have to do that today. So that is absolutely that came instantly by when I surrendered to NA, when I really committed myself to NA. And after a while, the obsession to use was gone. And I say to people today, I don't have a drug problem. I have an addiction problem. Drugs are not in my picture today, but addiction definitely is. You know, there's the screen, there's food, there's sex, there's relationships, there's shopping. There's so many things, so many behaviors I can use to numb myself. But at the core of it is I don't have to pick up a drug. I don't have to pick up a drug for any of this to survive this anymore. So that was a new way of life, was that I don't have to use drugs anymore. Another way of life was that when I was made redundant in 2015, I was sacked, essentially. That's how we call it politely in the UK. I was sacked from my job in advertising, and I was lost. What was I gonna do? Like, I was working for this agency for 8.5 years, I worked there as a woman at that point. Then I took the severance pay that I received from that job and put it into a degree. I studied psychology. I went back to uni. I managed to give myself the education that this woman needed. And that was brilliant. That was absolutely stunning. And then as soon as I finished my degree, I moved to Berlin and I became a sex worker. And that was absolutely brilliant. That was stunning. I know many people have different experiences with sex work, and mine is my own experience only. So I'm sharing my experience with sex work, which was I did it in NA with help from my sponsor, with help from fellows, with sex workers meetings, NA meetings. And it was a beautiful experience that allowed me to discover my sexuality, to connect with my body. At 6 years clean, I was celebrated 6 years clean in the Berghain, naked. and then I went to a meeting, obviously. I put some clothes on, but yeah. It was stunning, yeah, it was amazing. This is the power of NA, of recovery for me. It allows me to explore myself and experiment with myself in ways that were absolutely impossible when I was in active addiction. It allows me to do the things that I always wanted to do, but I was afraid to do, and I was ashamed to do. But actually, it's okay to do them. If I do them, you know, consciously and with the spiritual principles and staying clean and not harming anyone else or myself, I can do anything. I really truly believe that. And that is what recovery has given me. Like, after sex work, after I worked for 6 years, all over the world, it was magical, it was good. I retrained as a counselor, and I'm currently on my last year of before qualifying as a counselor. And I love this too. I really want to give back to people, you know, and why not make a living as well out of it? But also, it's part of what NA has given me, which is a new way of life, which is to care about others, you know. It is to want to help, you know, selflessly, if possible, like, you know, without wanting something back. Obviously, I'm going to get paid for my counseling, but you get what I mean. It's this kind of rotation towards service that NA has given me, you know, and I really, really enjoy this. I don't have much time left. I don't know where the time has gone. A new way of life. Like, I had so much sex, sober, like clean sex in my life, and that was beautiful. Now I don't have any sex, for example. And that is a new way of life. Yeah, it's been great. I'm really grateful. This week, on Monday, I celebrated 12 years clean. And for a trans woman, a sex worker, an immigrant, and an addict in recovery, that's quite a lot. Yeah, it's been a minute. Thank you so much for listening. I love you all.
Thank you.
I love you.
Oh, I love you. Give it to her.